you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 158 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Travis Luther. Travis is the creator of something called Law Father, which is a umbrella organization that provides a lot of services to attorneys in terms of website development and digital marketing. But beyond that, also things like video settlement brochures, which I think is a phenomenal idea, as you'll hear, and other deposition video technology services and a couple of other things. And then on top of that, he also is an applications developer and has created something called Trial Line. And I think this is a game changer, really a quantum leap in how information is stored, collated, and presented, particularly for use in litigation purposes or settlement purposes. But to me, I think it's a stunning breakthrough that they've accomplished. And I'm happy to talk about it because I think it's going to help a lot of folks who listen to this program. If you're a personal injury attorney or a family law attorney or any type of attorney that has to present information in accordance with a timeline of events, you're going to want to take a real hard look at Trial Line as a service or as a product for your use. So I won't stand in the way of this conversation any longer. Without further ado, here's Travis Luther. Travis Luther, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am thrilled to have you on the show today, Travis. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I often start this story by saying I never intended to be in legal at all. And one night I went to a bar and ended up making out with an attorney, ended up marrying her. And at the time, I had a little
happy ending there.
No. It's funny. Yeah, I'd never had this in mind for myself. I had a little marketing company that I'd been running while I was finishing my undergrad. And like I said, I met her and it was fireworks and all of the things that they say. And she was and still is a personal injury attorney. And so she knew that I had a little background in web development and graphic design. She spent a lot of time on the listserv and she would see her friends and colleagues posting, "Hey, do you know anyone who can help me put up a quick website? Or do you know anyone who can, you know, help me do a brochure real quick?" And she would forward those on to me. And, you know, after about 3 months, I looked at my sole employee and I said, "Gosh, I think there's something here. You know, let's take Luther Media and let's just start a little side company called Law Father, because I love the Godfather movies, and we'll just give the appearance that we just do law and legal stuff." And he said, "Okay." And, you know, within 6 months, it was, you know, the fastest growing, most successful business I had ever had. And I had had, you know, 10, 15 years of entrepreneurship under my belt. So made the decision to, you know, pursue this as my thing full time, probably about 11 years ago. And it's been amazing.
You know, it's so funny how on the entrepreneurial venture, how often the right decision is arrived at accidentally.
Yeah,
you know, if I had a nickel for every story like that, it'd pay for itself, because you read all about advertised or prescribed methodologies for developing an entrepreneurial business, and it always involves, you know, finding something you're passionate about, you know, niching it down to something that's unique to a specific audience, you know, testing on a small market, you know, all these kind of very straightforward things. But most often than not, people have arrived at that because they accidentally did all of those things. And then looking back on it, they said, oh, well, there's the roadmap. You know, I stumbled down that road more by luck than design, but you know, there's the roadmap, and here we are. And so it's gratifying to hear that kind of story from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, early in my entrepreneurship career, I was one of those people who, you know, believed the follow your folly, you know, work on your passion, you never work a day in your life, right, et cetera, and a lot of the businesses that I pursued were things I was personally interested in, and in that vein, and ultimately, unfortunately, they weren't successful, and it didn't have anything to do with me, my passion, or my drive. But as I came to learn later on, you know, success in entrepreneurship is about being the right person, the absolute right person in the absolute right position to execute on an idea, and not just having a good idea. And I think in the case of Lawfather, you know, I came with this marketing background at a time when you know, the internet and search engines were really making it a good investment for attorneys to find clients online. And I happened to have met this wonderful woman who could instantly tap me into the attorneys who needed those kinds of services. And I, you know, I've developed a number of businesses since then, and in conjunction with what I'm doing now. And that's what I always remind myself is, am I the right person first? And is this really, am I the right person to execute on this opportunity?
You know, and I think those of us who contemplate or have started our own law firm practice, solo practice, would be well advised to contemplate that same question. Am I the right person to do this at this time? Because I think a lot of times, a few times people decide, I'm going to do a solo practice, I'm going to open my own firm, because they think that's the way to go, or they think that's the best choice for them, without stopping to think, am I the right person to do that?
That's right. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have probably read the E-Myth, and I know that there's an E-Myth for lawyers now too. But you know, I mean, the crux or the thesis of that book is the person who makes the best pies is usually not the best person to open up a pie shop. And just because you're good at the law, or you're really good in your practice area, is not evidence that you'll run a really great law firm.
Well, hence the reason for, you know, this podcast in part. You know, the other thing, just before I forget about this, because I don't want to let this go by, I think one of the reasons that you and I connect so well here is because I've started off many a story by saying, like most things in my life, it started in a bar. I have a personal affinity for that. So before we get into talking about legal timeline software, let's talk about Lawfather. You know, first off, I think it's a great name. And again, in terms of branding yourself, it achieves exactly what you hope it to do, in my humble opinion, without crossing that line of being, you know, obnoxious, because we there's a number of attorneys out there and legal service providers who, in an effort to brand themselves, create a name or an image that is just, you know, off-putting. So, you know, congratulations on finding that sweet spot there. Tell us a little bit about Lawfather and what it does and how it can help attorneys.
Yeah, well, like I said, when we started, we were pretty much strictly, you know, web development and doing the pay-per-click and organic SEO services for attorneys, you know, and for lead generation online, generally through organic search and search engines. And, you know, what had happened is that my clients figured, oh, you have a computer, you must also know how to do video or anything else that's technical. And so from the web development stuff, you know, it was just kind of that young model of how young businesses don't say no. And so attorneys would say, oh, can you videotape a deposition for me? Or can you edit a deposition for me? And I thought, well, that's simple enough. We can do that. And so we kind of started this video business. And then again, my wife and all her wisdom had come out of a CLE at some point and saw that an attorney had taken a very simple video camera and set it up in front of a client and then a witness and then a treating doctor in a conference room and cut all the clips together and use that to send to the insurance company. And she said, I think that you can do this 100 times better And so then we started the development and the marketing of the video settlement brochure, and really made a name for ourselves in settlement and in mediation by doing just that, by creating these 60-minute.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because you know, it's something I have some personal experience in. When I first started as an attorney, I started doing personal injury, and the settlement, you know, package, or sometimes referred to as the demand letter that comes from the plaintiff's attorney to the adverse parties, most often insurance company, you know, used to be just a memo, a letter. Yeah. And the letter would say, you know, here's how my client was injured, here's all the injuries and the total of how they suffered as a result of your client's negligence. Here is our demand to settle the case before going to trial. Now, that was the approach, and I think it's still done a lot these days, but things have changed. Mm-hmm. And particularly with the high value cases, you know, a settlement package includes far more than just, you know, a letter to the insurance company. Mm-hmm. And so they've evolved over the course of time. Now we got to the point where you're using, and if I made a name for yourself, for the video settlement package. Tell us a little bit about what goes into that video settlement brochure.
Yeah, so generally it depends on the case type, but it will generally be focused on the victim, or if it's a wrongful death case, the family around them. But generally what we're trying to do is create a 60-minute style video. They're generally 20 minutes in length. They'll include the victim, the victim's family, any lay witnesses, any witnesses in general. So I guess rolling back just a little bit, what we're trying to understand is, are we looking at causation, or are we looking at liability? Are we looking at damages? Where does the attorney feel thinnest in their case, if you will? And then what kind of evidence or information can we collect to help strengthen that? So just depending on what they're looking at, we'll kind of dictate who we go to. But in general, we'll have the injured person, we'll have their family members who can attest to how their life has changed since the injury, especially if it's something that's not physically obvious. You know, a lot of our PI cases are around traumatic brain injury, and it's really hard to look at somebody and see that in the same way that you look and see a cast or crutches or a wheelchair. And so we'll get the people who are around the injured person to talk about how their life has changed and how they've been affected. And then we may speak to treating physicians and talk about treatment up to date, or what's worked or what hasn't worked, or are we at maximum medical improvement? Depending on, you know, if we're into litigation or how far the case is down the road, we may even talk to the experts, the life care planners, whoever else may be involved. And I think at the end, you know, we're trying to show opposing counsel or the insurance company, this is your trial. And these are the people that are going to be on the stand. And this is the compelling information they have. And do you really want to put this in front of a jury? Do you really want to continue to be combative or deny or delay these claims when you know that this is what's going to be said, and that this is how these folks are going to connect with the jurors in the trial?
You know, I think there's so much value to that. And beyond... You know, I can hear some of the critics saying, well, it's an attempt to win the trial based on slick video production. And my counter to that would be, no, you know, oftentimes cases go to trial because the decision makers don't have a clear understanding of the personal aspect of what's going to be presented at trial and who's going to be doing the presenting, because, you know, you don't always have an adjuster sitting in on a deposition. They frequently do, but not always. Sometimes they leave it up to the attorney, but it's the adjuster who's making the decision regarding settlement. So being able to see the witness, to see the injured party, to see the effects of the accident or the injury, and being able to have a much more gut level analysis of what trial might look like, I think potential to save everybody a lot of time and money and heartache.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's not funny, but the truth is that the people with the least amount of information and the least the smallest understanding of the case are the ones that our clients or our plaintiffs are waiting on to make decisions right. for them. And so why would you want to deny them anything? You know, why would you want to send them a binder full of papers when you can give them the tools that they need to settle your case faster and more fairly? So that's how I look at it.
Well, I think, obviously, how long have you been doing video settlement brochures as a service?
9 years. Yeah, nine years. We've done hundreds of them at this point.
Yeah, yes. I would think that that's a really strong aspect of what you have to offer.
Yeah, and they're not for everybody, and they don't make hay for everybody, and they're not cost effective for everybody. But they're not for every case either. No, not at all.
You know, doesn't make sense to use it in a low level rear end car accident case.
But right.
I also could see value in using it, somewhere in the middle. It doesn't necessarily also have to be a traumatic brain injury case. There's a lot of opportunity for that. Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to run my practice. If you want to take your practice further, you need to try Daylight. Daylight keeps track of every case detail and reminds you when you need to follow up so you can focus on what matters most. To be honest with you, I can't imagine running my practice without Daylight. So say hello to a stress-free workflow and visit marketcircle.com to try Daylight now. Remember to mention that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription. So here you go. You start off with you're doing websites and you're doing SEO and you're doing, people think you have a computer, then you must be, a technology whiz. You started adding some of this video stuff. Mm-hmm. And now you've migrated, you've added to your offerings, an application or a web-based service that attorneys can use called Trial Line. And this is what really caught my eye because, again, as being a former personal injury attorney and also, in family law as well, I often had to make or found it useful to make timeline presentations to describe a series of events over time, whether it be, in the course of an accident and a follow-up treatment in a personal injury case, or in the case of a family law situation, events that led us to where we are today in the courtroom process. And I never could find a good application to do that in. So when I saw at the ABA Tech Show, your booth on with Trial Line, I thought, that's a winner. So tell me a little bit about Trial Line, how long you've been providing this feature, this tool, and in general, what does it do?
Yeah, it's an interactive timeline tool for attorneys that allows them to enter the the time-sensitive events in their case, to organize them and stylize them in a number of ways that kind of gives them an instant look at what's going on, what categories they have, how those categories may or may not have relationships, and to really see the story. You know, people, jurors, everybody, you know, there's three ways that we learn. We see it. We're visual learners, we're audio learners, we hear it, or we're kinesthetic learners, in which we have to do. You know, my brother was one of those guys who couldn't read a book, but if you went out and showed him how to rebuild a carburetor and he did it with his hands, you know, he could do it a million times again, you know.
And probably blindfolded.
And probably blindfolded, indeed, indeed. And so, you know, trial line, again, came out of that philosophy of, you know, is this the right opportunity, and am I the right person to execute on it? From just the need that I saw, very similar to what you just explained, how you had gone out and looked for timeline programs and you couldn't find anything that really worked. You know, backtracking to video settlement brochures, that led to our business even evolving into a trial technology consultancy, where we now rent AV equipment to attorneys, so TVs, monitors, audio equipment, overhead projectors, whatever they need. And then our technicians go sit and trial with them, run their exhibits. And then before trial, we consult on, hey, we should make a poster board of this, or we should cut these depo clips for opening, or we should do this PowerPoint for closing. So we're really in the courtroom trying to help attorneys know how to tell a better story and how to convey that to the attorney, or I'm sorry, to the jurors. And what came out of that was, in preparation for cases, whether it was for mediation or trial, often our clients were asking us, hey, can you build a timeline for me? I just want to show my team what's going on in this trial. And we might use it in court, or we would be going into court and they'd say, hey, I want to build a timeline. Or I would suggest, hey, I think, you know, insurance bad faith cases are really good examples of that. I think we should build a timeline to show all these unreasonable delays and denials. That timeline problem became such an issue that even internally we were going, gosh, like, this is such a cumbersome process,
right,
of creating these art files. Then the attorney pops in and says, oh, you know, there's a couple other events I want to add.
Stick
and,
in the middle.
Know, yeah. To the, like, an untrained person, yeah, it seems easy, but it's really not. You're really recreating, you know, this graphic design and having to move all these layers and pieces around. So for me, I remember I was working on a case, this wasn't like, oh, I need to build something for attorneys. I was working on a case. I was under the gun. The attorney wanted a timeline. There was nothing that I had already made that really fit. And I was really frustrated with the prospect of having to recreate the wheel and spend another 10 hours building this timeline for this guy. And so I was looking for a cheat. You know, I got online. I was like, there's got to be a timeline program out there. There's got to be some kind of template that I can just use over and over again. We can plug this stuff in. We can get it done in a few hours and I don't have to recreate all this custom, you know, graphic design. I got online and I couldn't find anything. I found Time Map, you know, and I tried to call those guys and I never, you know, and long story short, it was months before I ever got even a response from anybody from them about, could I get the software? Could I use it? And what exactly did it do? And so, having a little bit of a coding background, I coded this little thing up for my wife of kind of what I had in mind that might work for a template in general for us to use over and over. And I showed it to her. I put a few events of one of her cases in there, and I showed it to her. Hey, does this look good enough? Does this look like something we could use over and over again for other trials? And I just remember her sitting at the kitchen table, and as the joke goes, she kind of looks up and she says, I think that you should dump your entire life savings into making this a program for everybody. Like, this is so awesome. You know, just even in its little infancy, she could see how giving her a way for her to start to create her own timelines that easily was something that the entire community needed. So again, it was one of those problems. It was a real problem that I had stumbled onto for myself, that I realized very quickly existed for not just my clients, but attorneys of so many practice areas. And so, to answer your original question, you know, it was about 4 years ago that we started that kind of infancy development, brought on some coders, outsourced to some coders, and spent really the 3 years after that trying to figure out what format could we build this in that would be HIPAA compliant? What format could we build this in that could scale to thousands of users and thousands of cases in a day without crashing? How can we protect our clients' information? How can we make it more user-friendly? And then spent about a year just giving it out to my friends and colleagues in Colorado and having them test it and come back with ideas and tweaks. And then a year ago, January, so about a year and 3 months ago now, we launched what we finally call our enterprise ready version, you know, that version in which we could get 1,000 hits a day and 1,000 new users and 1,000 new trials a day and not run the risk of crashing or anything like that. And so we launched that, and then it's just been kind of this word of mouth thing. You know, we've been kind of hesitant to do much while we get more, you know, we wanted to have, you know, we had 10 testers and we wanted to have hundreds of testers, and now we're well on our way to thousands. And then that ABA tech show that we met at, you know, that has over the last 3 months really been the catalyst to some really fast growth. And with that growth, some really, really great information from users telling us how they're using it, how it's been successful, giving us possibilities for future iterations, and really bringing this vision to life and making it the focus of Law Father and our future.
The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/law entrepreneur. So let's talk about kind of the mechanics of how you build a timeline here, because I know from my own experience, like when I was trying to build timelines, I used an application that you could purchase for Apple computers and Mac computers, which I'm totally aligned with. And of course, that app is no longer available. The developer didn't keep it up, which was a shame because it had the kernel of being very useful. But basically, you would put in a date and a title and maybe a description, a note. There wasn't a whole lot of information to put in, and it would then build the timeline based on that information. What in your product trial line, what must you input, and what additionally can you add to the timeline?
Yeah, so you can add a date. So, you know, coming, like I said, we've learned a lot about who our users are, and they're not all PI attorneys. In fact, not even a majority of them are. But coming from PI, we set categories, right? And usually in the PI, that would be, you know, pre-existing conditions and physical therapy and surgery and consultations and whatever. So we have categories, set categories across the timeline, and then we can set dates, and then we can set times, and our times go down to the second level. So our clients use it for I think a birth injury case is a good example of where you have a lot of interventions in what could be a very, you know, in a 45-minute period, you could have a lot of interventions from a lot of medical professionals. And so, yeah, you can zoom in and zoom out to the, you can zoom out to the month level, or you can zoom in as deep as the second by second level. So that's, I know that that's different from other timeline programs. You get your visual aesthetic first. So you build categories, you build date, you build time, you get a title, and then you have a description window. And those event flags can be expanded, and you can attach information to them. So after you've kind of put your summary information, you can open it up and you can put more detailed information. You can, you know, do pages and pages of text. It basically has a Microsoft Word type editor in it that would allow you to, you know, add bullet points, add frames, highlight in red, highlight in green, bold, italicize, you know, whatever, however you want to display the information inside the event flag, you have the freedom to do that. And then you can attach relevant media. So you can attach a deposition video or your deposition transcript. You can attach the medical records. You can attach screenshots or JPEGs or voicemails or emails, any kind of media associated with that. And in most cases, if it's nothing too obscure, when you view it online, our embedded media players will play that information back to you. You can also add provider details. So if you're dealing with any kind of treatment, psychologists, physical therapists, and you want to add their information to that event for some future exports, which we can talk about in a little bit, you can put that there. You can also embed YouTube clips. If your case is, maybe your case is newsworthy and you want to start to collect stories that have been done by the local news, you can copy and paste those links so that those videos are always there. And then you can make personal notes, as well as monitor the notes of people that you collaborate with, which is a feature we can talk about later.
You know, I think that is the area that takes this from being a cool graphic tool to being an invaluable resource for the attorney. And just while I'm thinking about it, because it popped into my head, just to be clear, I have no relationship with Trial Line. I have no relationship with the company. I just find this to be really a game changer in terms of capabilities for the attorney. And really, when I look at it, to me, rather than being defined as a legal timeline generator, to me, it is a timeline-based litigation management tool.
Yeah.
Because you really have the ability to these event flags, when you can add all that information, whether they be PDF documents, medical records, video tapes, audio tapes, deposition extracts, you know, YouTube videos, whatever it may be, you are organizing all of this material for the litigation, mm-hmm. and you're doing it on a timeline basis, mm-hmm. so that it all, you know, presents relative to each other and gives the complete picture and the complete story. And you can use it, as you said, to facilitate mediation or settlement, but also to facilitate working up the case, you know, before that, mm-hmm. And on the back end, you know, to use at trial.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, very few of the trial lines that are created actually end up going to trial. I mean, much like, you know, litigation itself, I think there's a stat out there that 5% of filed cases go to trial. But, you know, I the attorneys who rave the most about trial line, and I will say I appreciate your kind words. Thank you very much. The attorneys who rave about trial line are those ones who have realized to start the case with the trial line, bring trial line in at the end, right? Because you're right. Because now, I mean, just like our tagline says, show your story, right? So now they've centralized all the information. They can see where there are holes. They can see where they're missing information. And what I would love to see is that every law firm in the country had a big touchscreen monitor, just like we have when we built and test TrialLine. And that as they go through their case management conferences or through their case management or strategy meetings, that someone is standing up there in front of the big swipe TV monitor and they're swiping through these cases, you know, and they're swiping through these events and they're pointing and they're opening up their windows and they're, you know, I almost say it's like Iron Man tools for attorneys. You know, you're sitting up there and you're pushing your fingers on the screen and the information is opening in front of you and then you're closing it and then you're moving it on to the next event.
Well, as I said, it allows you to present the information in context, and that context being the timeline of the case. And I don't know that there's anything more valuable than that, because as a litigator, or maybe more accurately, a former litigator, you know, the idea of leaving it up to the jury to kind of piece all this together themselves is archaic.
Yes.
And I would come close to saying that, it's almost borderline, I don't know if I want to use the word malpractice, but it's just not a good practice to just throw out a whole bunch of dates and what happened on those dates. And, you know, ask the jurors to remember the testimony and put together their own timelines in the jury room. It's just crazy when you have a tool like this that you can present the case in a very logical and comprehensive manner.
Yeah, I'll even say, you know, before TrialLine's, you know, public availability, we still did so many trials. And, you know, there were some attorneys who wanted to use technology in the courtroom, and they would hire us to come in and do that. Yeah. And we would make recommendations on how to maximize it. And they would say, agree to it in theory, and then they would end up not really using us and just reading from the podium. And I'd see defense get up. And as soon as defense got up and turned on that TV monitor, you saw everybody in the jury box sit up and lean forward. And I just thought, Jesus, you know, I can't believe my clients are going to lose this great case because everyone is zoned out to them. And they're just looking forward to, you know, the next part of the show, as we say. And it's defense who's bringing it. I mean, it's a painful experience to have when you know you could have done a better job.
Oh, I know that experience only too well. I had a divorce case one time, and we were in front of the judge, and we were presenting my client's views on the distribution of marital property. And being a techie, with 20 plus years of technology experience, I should have done a much better job than this. Mm-hmm. I just told the judge, here's what we think. And then the other party's attorney got up and said, well, Your Honor, here's my spreadsheet, my color-coded spreadsheet. And I put it up on the screen, and it was just magnificent. And I sat there thinking, oh my goodness, I could do such a better job. What am I doing? And so that was the very last time I went into a courtroom without a detailed spreadsheet or electronic or PowerPoint or keynote presentation for closing, because I wasn't going to lose because the other side had better technology than me.
Right. And certainly you can overdo it too. You know, I've seen that as well.
Sure.
You know, in psychology, they say you give somebody too much information, and it makes it impossible for them to make a decision. So I'm not an advocate of technology, you know, throughout every little aspect.
No, but just for technology's sake.
Right, exactly. That's where you get into trouble. But definitely using it to highlight those key points in your outline.
So let's talk a little bit about the technical aspects of this. So you've got this great tool. And honestly, I mean, I'm just going to tell our listeners, you just have to go to the website and just kind of check it out, because it's spectacular in terms of its presentation. It looks fabulous. So it's a cloud-based service?
Yeah. It actually had never dawned on me to build a desktop software. You know, although we have that now for going to trial, if you're afraid of the strength of the internet connection, or is a desktop app. But yeah, I was a Mac guy. I mean, I still admittedly am a Mac guy. And one of the problems with the other legal software out there is it was only PC based too. So that almost eliminated me right off the bat. But yeah, going to the cloud and having it a browser-driven application means that it can be used on anything.
You can see it on your tablet. You can see it on your laptop. You can see it on your phone.
Yeah.
It works the same regardless of what platform you're on.
That's right.
And if you're in the courtroom, you can stream it. There's a variety of different ways to do that, but you have a presentation mode that allows it to be presented without distraction.
Yeah, so you can download it to, like I said, for both Mac or PC, you can download it to your desktop, and then you can sync from the internet to your desktop, meaning all the work you do online can be pulled down to your desktop without you having to recreate any of it. Yeah, and then you can save. One of the features is this ability to save different views, so all of your information can be in there, but you can hide the menus, and you can just isolate certain categories if you want. And so you can save a view called Trial View, and that will get rid of all of the menu options, all of the notes and comments, right, et cetera, and just display the clean chronology.
And you also touched briefly on a couple of subjects here, particularly since we're talking about a cloud-based data management system. And of course, we always have the responsibility of thinking of our ethical obligation to protect our clients' data. So how do you address those concerns when you're potentially having millions, if you're scaling up to as large as I think you are, mm-hmm, you know, millions of clients worth of medical records and, you know, employment data and all that. How do you protect all that?
So I'll tell you that it's not actually stored in our app. I mean, the first thing that we do is we look at the requirements for HIPAA compliance, and we make sure that the upload and download process is secure and double encrypted, and that our SSL certificates are up to date, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then the documentation itself is put into these special servers that Amazon Web Services provides to us that have
all, you know, of that,
the zillionth level, right, of protection. And we pay, you know, we pay extra money for this, and we pay money to, so that this scales with our clients, and so that there's never any bottlenecks. But that also that when someone is using the app and they're referring back to those documents, the documents are actually pulled from and viewed from those secure servers. So they're not just sitting in our website. They're basically sitting in document vaults, if you will.
Right, right. And yeah, and then can the user, the attorney, access that information independent of the trial line application, or
well, the attorney sees it all in trial line. So, you know, and unless you ask me that question, you would never know that, you know, that your documents that you're seeing in trial line are actually in this protected server. So you always can see them, and you're always adding and downloading. Trial line just serves as the interface between you and your information, okay, in those secure vaults.
I guess the question more accurately that I was trying so inartfully to ask was, as an example, personal entry, I get all these medical records in on behalf of my client. They're digitized, they're scanned. I keep them in a secure place, you know, storage on my side. If I've uploaded them into trial line, Do I have to still keep them on my side, or can I?
No, and that's, you know, no, that, and more, that's what we're finding. I mean, trial line thus becomes, if you're using it certainly for case management and you're starting your case with the trial line becomes your document management.
That's what I was thinking.
Solution, yeah. You know, and then there is no need for you to continue to store them on your side.
And I will tell you that, you know, this is just this epiphany that I have here thinking about this, is that, you know, when I would collect all that data on my laptop and in my secure cloud reservoir, and then also back it up to an external drive as well, so I would make sure, uh-huh, I would never lose, uh-huh, my client's data. There was no way to really index it other than to have a prescribed file naming convention, and also have it scanned, OCR scanned, so that I could search for a specific doctor's name or a specific condition or what have you. But if I've got it stored in TrialLine, I have all those tools available to me, as well as I can search it by time. If I know that they saw this doctor 3 months after the accident, I don't have to look around. I can just go to the timeline to the 3 month mark and look to find that record.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I just think that Travis is really a game changer.
Thank you.
So terrific. Tell us a little bit. Now I know it's a subscription based model. So the user, the attorney pays for this tool on a monthly basis. And then on top of that, there's a per case additional charge. Is that correct?
You've got it. Yeah. Yeah. There are three levels. Well, there's four, but there's three publicly available levels for subscription. There's the basic package, which is online only. So you won't have access to the offline apps. It's a single user. So you have one username and password. You get one TrialLine for free, and that is $9.99 a month, regardless of how many cases you have open.
Sure.
And then there is an additional $9.99 a month fee for every case that you open. So you'll pay $9.99 a month for the privilege of using TrialLine, and then $9.99 a month for every case that you have open. The small firm package is for 1 to 5 user licenses, and that's $199 a year. And then the case fee drops down to $7.49 a month per case. And then the large firm package is 1 to 20 users. And by users, I mean if you want to give your make your paralegal a user, or your partner a user, or we're even finding that attorneys and law firms are making their clients users, so that their clients can actually go in and do some of the work for them and update their TrialLines, which is really, I think, going to be a game changer, especially in family law. But at any rate, that's $499 a year for up to 20 licenses. And again, the reduced case fee of $7.49 a month. And then if you want to go enterprise and you have something larger than that, then we'll talk to you about that on a firm by firm basis. Sure. We just want to get a good understanding of what your data needs are going to be. So that is the reason that there's the monthly case fees, is because, like we said, so many of our attorneys are using this to be their digital document storage solution as well. And we just want to make sure that we're able to provide enough storage and bandwidth to keep that a reality.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely properly priced, in my humble opinion, for whatever that's worth. Particularly then, so when you think about the potential that, okay, well, let's just say I was a personal injury exclusive practitioner. I might be able to reduce my Dropbox subscription to a much more manageable, maybe even to the free level, if I know that most everything else I can store in my TrialLine database.
Yeah, I mean you've got the same. TrialLine does have sharing functions as well, which would allow you to share your TrialLine over email. So just like Dropbox does allow you to share some documents with other people, you can do that through TrialLine as well.
Well, I also see that can very well be an opportunity to reduce your costs in areas. Because you have the capability in TrialLine that makes that duplication unnecessary.
Yeah, so that was the point I wanted to make, was that yes, because you can centralize all your documents on TrialLine, then you may not even need Dropbox anymore. And then here's the other thing, we create invoices in the system on a case by case basis, meaning that when your case resolves, you can export an invoice. It will show you all the monthly charges, April, May, June, July, August. It'll have your law firm's information at the top of the invoice. It'll say, charges provided by TrialLine. And then you can actually charge it back to the client at the end of the case and collect the proceeds there. So truthfully, you could eliminate your digital storage costs by using TrialLine and making sure to submit the invoices back to the client at the end of the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's brilliant. All right. Well, Travis, I think I've clearly shown that I'm a fan of both Law Father and A Trial Line. Tell our audience how they might reach you if they want to follow up or equally become as enamored with the products as I am.
Oh, again, I appreciate that. Law Father is available at www.lawfather.net. And then Trial Line is the same, Trial Line, TRIALLINE.net as well. And then our 800 number will get you into both companies and get you support for both companies. That's 800-325-7715. Yeah, and I'm certainly, you know, my personal email address is travis@lawfather.com. And, you know, Trial Line is by no means done. Like, we're still open to getting feedback from attorneys to understand what features would make it better. So feel free to email me personally and let me know.
That's awesome. Well, listen, let me just close by noting the fact that of all your accomplishments with creating Law Father and Trial Line itself, perhaps the single greatest achievement that you accomplished was picking a visionary as a wife.
That's right.
You know, because without her vision, I'm not sure where your companies would be. So no. I know you must thank your lucky stars for that on a number of different levels. But listen, Travis, yeah. It's been a delight having you on the program today. I really, honestly, again, I have no affiliation with the company. I think it's a game changer. I think it really is, satisfies the basic need for a lot of different attorneys. And I think if they get on board with it, they're going to find the same thing. So I'm delighted to share that news with our audience and love to have you back again a little later on down the line. You can tell us, you know, how things went.
I can tell you what my wife's next great idea is, right?
Okay, yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much.
Thanks ever so much, Travis, for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
All right, Neil, bye.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.